Ignition sequence start. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Liftoff.
Check, 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 check. I literally just create madness.
Boiler up.
I'm going to go off here.
They don't have a great quarterback.
I got to take a break. I'm getting in trouble.
To win the Big Ten, you first got to win the West.
Bad Bunny.
Have you heard his name in a while?
No.
Has it bothered you?
No.
Defensively, they got to come in with some confidence.
Is that even analytics?
I am in a parking garage. I'm kind of lost.
Terrence Shannon, Matthew Meyer, RJ Melendez, Coleman Hawkins.
He's dropping the presentations on over.
I didn't come here to go 5-7.
I'm so proud of Illinois football right now.
I'm so tired of Joel Embiid.
We're not taking Patrick Corbin.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh.
You are Reba McEntire's niece.
Roshan Russell.
Coach Bielma.
You know, long.
Yeah, salute to yourself.
What?
We got all kinds of things for you here.
There's a lot of glass.
Oh.
Guys, we have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
It's the drive.
Schmack dogs.
And I think the Cubs just put another one on the board. It is the drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Derek Piper, Lante. No Kyle Toss today.
No, thank God.
In the glory of a 20-run performance from his Chicago Cubbies last night. They get a nice win against the Reds.
Man, I almost won a wager.
You did.
That?
I felt bad for you.
I bet the Cubs to win, Cody Bellinger to homer, and the new guy who I had said yesterday three or four times, it's Dinger Tuesday, which I didn't do. But I had Candelario to homer. Mm-hmm. I put $5 to win 170, and Candelario missed a home run by like 2 feet. He hit a double. And I was like, oh, that's how it does. That's how it works.
He went 4-for-5.
Did he really?
4-for-5, and the Cubs, as a team, I think hit 7 home runs.
Yeah, I saw that.
I saw that tie the franchise record.
That's amazing. I think only 5 other franchises have done that. Or something. I saw something on MLB this morning at like 6 a.m., so I was a little blurry-eyed. I'm not sure exactly what they said, but 20 runs, man. That is piling it on. My mom would always sit there and say, well, I don't know why they don't save some of these for tomorrow. I'm like, Mom, that's not really how it works, but whatever. It is amazing that just all of a sudden one team can get that hot against another team, but that was certainly a game they needed to win, and now tonight... are they playing today or did they play tonight? I need
to check.
I'm
guessing it's tonight.
Oh, yeah, I am too. This is a big one for the Cubbies. So we'll see what happens there. And we've got a little bit of Jed Hoyer we can play next hour of the trade deadline and everything and why they kind of stood pat. We've got a little bit of John Mozeliak as well and talking about who all they accumulated, which I don't know if it amounts to anything, but we'll see.
They have shifted their prospect rankings there in the top 10. They've added a couple of guys now that are considered top 10 prospects within the Cardinals organization. Now, it wasn't a super strong
right
farm system. One, because you have a handful of guys up, like a Nolan Gorman. But then also, it had kind of dwindled where the Cardinals didn't have the best of farm systems, even though that had been a calling card for them for many years.
Big time.
I will give credit to Mo for being able to get some arms out there for some expiring type of contracts and didn't sell off the future and didn't have to move anybody that you felt too bad about or really bad about at all, I would imagine. But we can talk more about that as we go along. And as you said, we will hear from John Mozeliak and also Jed Hoyer. We're going to talk some Atlanta basketball today. Yeah, I'm excited for that. I was at Ubbin this morning for part of their practice. They've completed 9 of 10 available practices before going to Spain. They leave on Friday.
Okay.
We'll be gone for about 10 days and play 3 games over there between Madrid, Valencia, and then Barcelona. So I can talk about what I was able to see during practice. Brad Underwood had an extended sit down. No one was sitting. He was standing. And,
24 minutes.
It was, 24
minutes. I'm anxious
minutes.
To hear it.
We hadn't had a chance. I know Brad's busy throughout the summer. The recruiting calendars as crazy as it's ever been, but outside of his Coaches versus Cancer event in Gordyville, and then I know he spoke to some of the media that were out at the Kendall Gill golf outing. We haven't heard from Brad outside of that since the Arkansas loss.
Wow. At the NCAA tournament.
In terms of like a media scrum, this was the first one of the summer. So a lot of things to cover, whether it's asking about individual players, whether it's the point guard position,
right,
whether it's what he wants to get out of this Spain trip. That's all in there that you will hear coming up in about 20 minutes or so.
Let me go off topic for 2 seconds and then back on. Cubbies play at 7:05. And Drew Smyly on the Hill. The Brewers lost today. So the Cubs, they're 4 games behind the Reds. Of course, they could pick the game up on the Reds. And they're 3 games behind the Brewers. So at the end of the day, the Cubs could end up gaining a game on both the Brewers and Reds if they win this game tonight with Smyly on the Hill. So I'm sorry, I just jumped off topic, but I know we had chatted a little bit, and we'll talk more baseball in the 4 o'clock hour. But it is interesting that he said, I guess today they went 2 hours in that scrimmage, or I'm sorry, in that practice. I loved your piece in Illini Inquirer, so I'm not going to talk about it. But it basically, you broke down the minutes and how they would look in your mind and in your thought as to how it would break down this year. And as I was reading through that, which I agree with most of it, I also agreed with a couple of the comments that maybe Goody, you know, just flip. But still, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. But that's just because he's my guy, you know. I mean, to some, he's my son. So I have
to. You've kind of got your guys duking it out position. You got Marcus Domas from the Dogs.
The Dogs, baby.
And then you've got Luke Goody.
I know. This is going to be – I need them both to start. So I don't know how that's going to work. I don't know how we're going to fit that in. But certainly that would be – but I loved the article, and it really was a great article to sit there and get you thinking. But the one thing that I also thought about when I finished, I'm like – holy crap, there's a lot of guys on this team that could play. And again, I try not to get – I'm not a guy that gets anxious. Like, I can sit in a crowd of 70,000. I don't get anxiety issues or anything. But I'm almost getting anxiety about this team because I'm sitting there thinking and I'm leaning back on all the years, 16 years that I coached. Okay, now again, not at that level. This was junior high or below or, you know, travel baseball kind of stuff. But – I always enjoyed, like basketball, for instance, I always enjoyed when I knew I had a clear-cut 5 guys. And then I could kind of tailor, because, you know, in junior high, everybody plays. So you could kind of tailor, like, who's your guy, your 6th guy coming in, and then this kid and this kid going for these two, you know. So I just wanted to go into a game knowing kind of what I had in mind. And I know that these guys do this. I know that this staff and Brad Underwood does that, but let me get back to reality now and not me coaching. The idea with all of these players, I just sit there and I think to myself, I would be anxious to know, okay, I've got 5 on the court, but I wonder if one of these other 7 guys or 6 should be on the court right now. Like, would one of them, but I guess that's their jobs, right? That's why Brad makes a lot of money for other reasons as well. But it's just, again, from reading your article, I was just like, holy crap. I mean, I think you could maybe not Moretti. I think other than him, you could pretty much plug in anybody, and I wouldn't be shocked if they got 18 minutes a game or 18 minutes in a game.
Yeah, within that. Really, that top 10 in the rotation, you can make an argument based on how circumstances play out.
Right.
There's a decently wide range of outcomes. If Dre Gibbs Lawhorn, who we're going to talk about, he's been pretty impressive. He was, again, today at practice. You look at him as a freshman guard, and it's an older team. And, yes, there's Ty Rogers, who's been handed the keys at point guard, and Terrence Shan's going to play a bulk of the minutes there in the backcourt. So on one hand, you're like, well, maybe it could be tough for Dre to get there in the mix too much, you know, play a bunch of minutes. But if he plays up to his potential, he could also be a 20-minute per game type of guy, maybe even push for a starting spot. So
what if he's better than Ty? And I don't mean all around. Listen, maybe he could be better all around. But you know what I'm saying? What if he's a better point guard than Ty Rogers? And at that point, do you then risk who sits? I mean, if he's that good and he's your best point guard and he proves it, then, how ironic would it be that we thought we had 2 really good point guards, or at least 1 last year, and now we go into this season, all we needed was a point guard, and we don't think we have one, and then all of a sudden he comes out and is freshman of the year in the Big Ten because he knows how to run the point. And it sounds like from what the coaches say And I can't wait to hear how you assess what you saw today at practice, which I'll shut up and let you talk about. But yeah, wouldn't that be weird though? Whose minutes are cut? Because I want Ty in the lineup, but if Dre is better at point, then you got to run him at point.
That's a good question. I think that as of right now, those are probably your top two. I would definitely say those are your top two point guard options, and Ty's going to get the first crack at it, and still something that he's adjusting to. And today, I know that our job as the media is to kind of take this snapshot of what we saw today and extrapolate of, okay, this is the current state of line of basketball. This is how the rotation would project, even though I wrote that earlier in the week. Mm-hmm. But Ty's practice today wasn't his best. I mean, he's still learning in that point guard position. You can tell that. And you still have the questions about the jump shot and whatnot. I do think that Draven Gibbs-Lawhorn is going to be someone, whether it's at point guard or just – in the backcourt in general, is someone that's going to get opportunities because he can score it, because he's a good athlete. But there's a situation if Ty does not produce the way you would hope as a point guard, that maybe Draven is your starting point guard at some point down the road. The good thing about Ty is that he's versatile enough to slot into different spots. He can play the three, the four, really all over the floor if that is going to happen. But their plan, obviously, is for Ty to play a lot of minutes at point, for Draven to slot in their point guard, and then also off the ball too. But he's gifted, man. He is really athletic. He's great watching in transition in the open floor. Yep. He can create off the bounce. He's a confident dude. Like, not that we haven't seen some freshmen come in. Obviously, the one that comes in mind the most, especially in terms of a guard, is Iodesumu. Just the way he carried himself, and he was pretty fearless and knew his abilities right off the bat. But I think Draven's going to be the same way in that, yes, he's inexperienced, but he's not going to really kind of pucker when he gets in the Big Ten, like go on the road and face some really good teams and players. But he's going to have some bumps along the way, you know, some of the growing pains. But I've just been continually impressed. Everybody I talked to throughout the summer around the program just raves about him, says he's as talented as anybody in the gym. And we know that Terrence Shannon and Coleman Hawkins were projected in the second round of the NBA draft last year as veteran guys, and Draven hasn't played a minute yet in college basketball. But I'm excited about what he can be. And while I've been trying to remind myself of this here recently, I get into it. I think a lot of Illini fans get into it of, oh, freshman guard. We saw that last year.
That's the thing, right? We're reactionary.
There's the pumping of the brakes because of you know, Jaden had his struggles. Although I still think Jaden had a pretty good year overall.
I agree.
But Sky Clark obviously did not live up to expectations. But in the same vein, you can look across the Big Ten. Malachi Branham came in to Ohio State, pretty darn good in year one. Jalen Hutschefino came in at Indiana. It was awesome. And even to a lesser extent, but stepped right in and were able to have a pretty good season. Fletcher Lawyer and Braden Smith at Purdue.
I
think that you could be in a situation where the end result of a freshman guard is more palatable with Dre Gibbs-Lawhorn than maybe what you don't like about how it played out last year.
And I think having the portal also brings another kind of level to that, in the sense that you sit there and say, with the portal now, and if you're a team like Illinois who has really used the portal very well, with the portal now, do we ever need to start a freshman unless they're really good? Does that make sense? And so I think when you're seeing what especially happened with Sky, and then the idea about the portal, it's kind of like, well, I don't want to go through that again. And at least I know if I get a guy that's a junior or has played some years or he's a grad transfer, at least I know that he's been through the rigors, and I know that he's going to be someone that can come in and eat up those minutes and not have a lot of mistakes. Now, are you calling him Draven?
Draven's his full name.
Does that who he wants to, does
That's
he want to go by?
That's how the coaches call him, so I've been starting to call him Draven.
Oh, okay, because you were saying that, and I'm like, well, he must have messed up the first time. Then you said it again, and I'm like, hold on a second.
It's Dre for short.
Okay, great.
Not forgetting about Dre, but Draven is how Brad calls him and those around the staff, so I've been latching onto that as well.
Two more quick questions about him. How big is he in terms of not height, but – well, I guess you could give me the measurements, I guess. Is he big, pretty thick kid?
He's probably in the 6'2", 6'3", range. He's a little wiry, not like completely skinny, but he is I'm trying to pull up the exact measurement
with
here.
The left hand. Do you know what's funny? I think it's because he had committed, and this is the other thing I want to talk about. He had verbaled to Purdue.
He did.
And I always get this image of Purdue players that are, like, strong.
Like so, a Carson Edwards
that's
type.
Exactly right. So when I knew that Illinois was getting this kid, I just assumed that he was a strong kid, kind of built like Ty. But he's a little more.
Illinois has him listed on their roster, 6'1", 165.
Oh, wow.
So he's slender.
6'1", 165. Are we just undercutting everybody here? Sounds like Andrew. Last year was listed at 5'10". I'm like, dude, you're like 6'2". What does it matter? That's what he would tell me. I'm like, well, what if some college coach was there to watch some other kid and he's looking at the roster going, well, I'm not looking at a 5'10 kid. And he goes, yeah, but I'm going to be on the court. And he can tell. I'm like, what?
You're always supposed to add like an inch and a half.
Dude, you're the only guy I know in the history of history to go under what you are.
Maybe he's thinking about scouting like an opponent's going to look on the roster.
Maybe that's
like,
it.
Eh, you know, he's only 6 foot. We don't got to worry about it. Oh, wait, no, he's 6'4".
Oh, wait. Andrew just likes to know, like, if something is bothering me, then he loves it. And we'll get off that. So 6'1", 165. Wow, yeah. That is thin. So
he's bouncy, quick twitch. Very good athlete.
Okay. I had him more pegged as a stronger, kind of like a Ty, but it sounds like I'm completely wrong.
Amani's more of that build.
Okay.
Amani Hansberry is someone that comes in looking like he belongs in a Michigan State front court.
Yes. That's perfect.
That's one of the things that Jeremy Warner and I talked about on our podcast this afternoon, and he was there and along with other media, is that this front court looks deep. When you consider a senior, Coleman Hawkins, redshirt junior, Dane Danger, Quincy Guerrier comes in as a grad transfer. You have Marcus Domask who can play the four as a grad as well. Amani is a freshman, someone that was ranked in the top 50. He's on that. When I did the rotation, he's down as like the 10th or 11th guy.
My goodness.
In the past, you've had someone ranked in that area be asked to play a big chunk of minutes, but it just shows how much depth is there in the front court. There's a lot of talent in that as well. And they're just there's a lot of grown men.
Can I tell you what also gives me anxiety is the portal.
I know.
And I sit there. I think that's part of why I feel like I feel. Like in the past, I didn't worry about that because I thought, well, listen, there's a lot of guys on this team. So maybe I'm making this up. So I'm not picking guys out that I'm going to pick on. Let's say Sincere doesn't play as much as he should. Let's say Dre doesn't play as much as he should. Let's say Amani doesn't play as much as he should. 10 years ago, it's like, well, guys, that's kind of what we do here. And then next year, your roles are going to grow. And then the next year, you're going to be starters. And here we go. I mean, now you can't do that. Now you sit there and think, oh, man, Amani didn't play that much. Is he now going to go back to Penn State, which is where he had kind of looked at first? And, I mean, it adds another wrinkle. And I think as Brad Underwood of a coach, I don't think you can worry about that, can you? Does he have to worry about that and say, hey, guys, we're up 15 against Northwestern here in the first half. Let's make sure we get Amani 20 tonight, minutes. You know, because he's only played 8, 9, and 12 the last four games. Let's get him 20 to keep him happy. I mean, you can't really think like that, can you?
I don't think you can as a coach. I think you got to try to win.
I agree.
Just do everything you can to win a game. Don't put yourself in a circumstance where you might jeopardize that just to keep somebody happy. And
well, we did that last year, right?
That's what the players would tell you now is that there were too many promises made and that whole type of deal. Thank you to a 651 for texting me and actually reminding me about an article I just wrote. I just interviewed Adam Fletcher. And was able to do a rundown of each different guy, their physical development.
Okay, I haven't read that one. Isn't that funny? That's the one I haven't read. I'm going to read that tonight.
Good insight from Fletch. Draven is up to 180 pounds now.
Okay.
So he's added 15 pounds even just this offseason. So he has been able to put some bulk on there. But, yeah, there's no doubt, like, when I was doing the rotation, there's going to be a lot of internal competition, which can be great.
Yes.
Which can really bring the best out of all parties involved and allows a coach to say, hey, if you're not bringing it, you're not giving the effort, you're not doing the production, I'm just going to play the guy behind you because we're not going to have that much of a drop-off.
No, there's no doubt.
That comes into play with, I think, Marcus Domask and Luke Goody. Not that both can't play, but you're going to have some competition between those two. And then essentially Sincere Harris, Justin Harmon, and Draven Gibbs-Lawhorn are all going to compete directly against each other for those minutes. But there is kind of that balance, if you're even considering it, of you brought in some older guys,
yep,
and you could just play all those dudes you brought in plus your returners, but then maybe Sincere doesn't play a ton, mm-hmm, or Draven or Amani, and then those are supposed to be pillar type of pieces for the future because you're going to lose a ton after this, right, year. Is that something that you have to take into account? I think Brad, again, to go back, I believe he'll play the best players that he can in a given year and just live with the consequences afterwards, but it is something to think about.
It'll all figure itself out. Isn't that what they say? You know, we'll be sitting here January, Big Ten games roll around, and in our mind, I think, even us will have a clear idea of who basically should start, who is great off the bench, you know, like Curbelo this freshman year was unbelievable. What Felice would have, he'd come, yes, off the bench.
Yep.
Maybe that's who I'm more thinking of, to where it was like, well, Andres might be your best player, but we're going to bring him off the bench because he has a role that he gets this team. You know, there's times where maybe if a guy you're worried about foul trouble, maybe you keep him and shorten the game by 4 minutes to bring him off after the first time out, you know, such like that. But yeah, it'll be interesting. I think it'll work itself out, but I don't know. And maybe there's games where you fall behind and you need a Luke Goody to come in and so you got more of 3-point shooters, or a team style, you know, stylistically, defensively, the way they're playing you, you need shooters, or maybe they're out on you, so you need guys that can slash, or on their offensive end, we need guys that can make stops, so that might mean that these two guys don't play as much because we need better defense. So that's kind of what's going to happen here. And by the way, did you know that there's a Google image? I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding. I knew that. But I literally was like, why don't you just Google image Draven and you could get an idea of what he looks like in terms of – so I did that. Now, the other question I wanted to ask about him real quick, and it's even on here, him holding – or him in a Purdue uniform. What exactly happened there?
So he's from West Lafayette.
Okay.
And I think there were two factors that really kind of pushed him to open up his recruitment and to then end up at Illinois. Number one, I think NIL-wise, that Purdue didn't want to dabble as much as far as that goes with recruiting. I mean, programs will pick lanes and sometimes do both, but we even have talked about it a little bit with Illinois football in that with the pool of money that you have available, maybe you reserve most of it for retention, for players on your roster to keep them or just to keep guys happy once they're in the program.
Got
maybe
it.
You don't go out there and have a lot of resources to then say in recruiting that we've got NIL deals ready-made for you to come in as a freshman or as a transfer. I think from Purdue's standpoint, I don't know that it was that lucrative for him, and he was a guy could find a place different that had more opportunity. So I think that was part of it. And then also I just think he wanted to get a little bit away from home, I think, in terms of branching out. And sometimes it's better for guys to get away from – I'm not saying he's ducking the pressure of being a hometown guy. I don't necessarily think that was the case. But sometimes just going out on your own is a little bit better for him. And I think that was a little bit of what was discussed as well.
Makes sense. It worked out for Josh Whitman, another West Lafayette guy. So it worked out for him. So hopefully Draven will have that kind of a career here and maybe one day coach at Illinois.
Never know.
There you go.
You never know. But I think another thing, like the way that Draven played today, I also want to hit on – I mean, we could talk about a number of different guys, but Sincere Harris was another one that played really well today. And it sounds like he's had a pretty good summer.
Sweet.
And someone – Joey Wagner's working on a piece for Atlanta Enquirer, someone that's added more confidence offensively.
Wow.
That he slashed the rim pretty well today. He hit a three. I'm not saying it was the prettiest ball off the hand that I've ever seen, but it went in. That was good to see. And then you know he's just going to be someone that's in your shirt.
A pass.
Possession after possession defensively and gave Gibbs-Lawhorn some trouble early in practice, just how into him he was defensively. But when you think about those guys showing out well, what's kind of on the note of depth and making tough decisions with playing time, Justin Harmon comes in as a transfer. He was Utah Valley's leading scorer last year.
Wow.
He averaged 21 points per game in the NIT. They went to the NIT championship game. And if you just judge on one practice, it looked like he'd barely play.
Isn't that unreal?
Now, I don't want to come to too far conclusions off of one practice. And yes, he also got to the program late this summer, had some academic stuff to finish up. So maybe he's just still acclimating. Maybe it was just a tough day of practice for him or whatnot. But that's where you're going to have some guys that are that have some talent that may be in some real competition to whether they even get on the floor.
It's going
to
be interesting. And this Spain trip might tell us a lot. I'm not going to hang my hat on what happens for three games in Spain and say, oh, now I know exactly what's going to happen. But it could tell us a lot, and that's interesting. I'll tell you this. I know we got a break because we're going to play Brad Underwood from today. But next hour, I know we've got some baseball stuff that we can kind of maybe finish the show with. But I would kind of like to just – and I know you can't take, like you said, from practice today, you can't base everything you're going to know. But I'd love to go through each player real quick and just let you kind of give us a glimpse of what you saw today, even if it wasn't sparkling. Just, Shannon didn't do much, but we know what he's going to do. You know, one of those things.
Good.
I was going to say, I bet
he was pretty good.
I guarantee you did more than not much. So that's maybe we can do that top of the hour.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
That sounds good. If you want to weigh in, you can. We've had a number of you do so already. 217-359-2255 on the U of I Atlanta Link text line. As Lon was saying, we've got a big chunk of Brad Underwood to play for you guys today. He spoke about the Spain trip, what he hopes to get out of it.
Sweet.
The point guard position, different guys in terms of their development and how they fit in. A bunch of new guys, transfers, a couple of freshmen as well. We'll get you that on the other side of this break.
Break. You're like London now. You're a Londoner.
It's not Spanish. I'm not going to Spain. So I don't know what that was, but we'll catch a break. I'll fix it, and we'll get you some Brad Underwood. This is The Drive.
Pepsi-Cola Champagne Urbana Bottling is getting summer started with some fresh new products. Take a break from the sun and get a taste of cool, crisp, refreshing, starry lemon-lime flavored soda. Stay hydrated with Gatorade's new Fast Twitch Energy Drink and get your daily source of vitamin A and C with Gatorade Fit. Find your afternoon pick-me-up with Starbucks Caramel and White Chocolate Mocha Frappuccino Mini Cans. Order these delicious beverages and everything else with Pepsi-Cola Champagne Urbana Bottling Company. Visit PepsiColaCU.
BMW, Buick, GMC, Honda, and Subaru. Welcome to Sarah Champagne. We can handle all your car repairs on site, including paintless dent repair, bumpers, windshields, everything in between. We have an amazing selection of new or pre-owned vehicles to choose from. Shop from home and buy online or reserve your vehicle before it hits our website or dealership. Sarah Champagne is home of the Sarah One Price Promise, delivering an honest and transparent buying experience. Hurry in or shop online at sarahchampagne.com.
Hi, I'm Tyler Weaver, president of Carpet Weaver's Flooring and Furniture Gallery. Take a look around your home. Is it finally ready for some much-needed updates? If you don't know where to start, then just meet with one of our experts. We'll help you find the perfect waterproof plank floor for your kitchen or that stain-resistant, super-soft carpet for your bedroom. Finish your room update with a custom sofa and chairs, or choose a trendy in-stock dining set that's priced right. Come home to Carpet Weaver's, where floors, furniture, and family meet.
Hey, where are you headed?
To Kelsey Furniture in Tuscola.
What do they have there?
What don't they have there? Living room furniture, benches, chests, love seats, sectionals, tables, bedroom sets, hutches, nightstands, end tables, cabinets, mirrors, stools, clocks, lamps, pillows, rugs, desks, media consoles, patio furniture, Tempur-Pedic mattresses, and more.
So, everything.
Yeah, probably could have just said that.
Kelsey Furniture, quality for less.
Hi, it's Stevie J, and welcome to a Stever Opportunity. The Stever, the programmer I, Stevie J, gladly give you money to go spend. And you spend it and keep the stuff. And you're saying, what? What are you doing? What is wrong with this deal? There's really nothing wrong with this deal. I'm giving you a chance to go experience something. I'm sure you've been to Curtis Orchard, but if you have not, you got to go. I'll give you $25 to go to Curtis Orchard and spend on your own. You have two requirements now. There are two requirements. You have to spend my money within 7 days, and then you must fill out thoughtfully your Stever survey on how Curtis Orchard was. They'd love to know what you thought. That's it. So $25 if you want it. $25 is yours. GoStever.com. If you're not a member of GoStever, we're not sure why, but it is free, and you can enter. You can join and enter at the same time. It's GoStever.com. I'm handing out $25 to Curtis Orchard. Fantastic, fantastic place we have in Champaign-Urbana. GoStever.com.
Hey, Illini fans, it's Mike Greenberg. Catch Lon Tay and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Back on the drive with Sam Piper. Derek Piper, Lante, ESPN Radio 93.5. Lindy weighs in on the U of I Atlanta Link text line. Can Dre be our Brian Cardinal? It's a good question, Lindy. I think the best case scenario, yeah. I mean, you think about someone from the area going up against someone across the way in the Big Ten, and if memory serves me correct, I'm pretty confident in saying Brian Cardinal never lost to the Illini, so I'm sure Illini fans, Brad Underwood and company, would be pretty happy if that was the result, having Draven Gibbs-Lawhorn in an Illini uniform and someone that just made you wince. Even to this day, Illini fans, you bring up that name, and it's like, oh, man, that guy got away. It would add even more sting to Purdue in terms of their fan base because he actually put on the uniform, made the commitment, and then opened the thing up. And I know he's going to have a lot of motivation, which he hasn't been shy in saying. First trip to West Lafayette. He's got a lot of people to prove something to, because as fan bases do, they don't always have the most kind things to say when a player decommits from their school. So I know that's one that he's been looking forward to for a long time. And as I talked about in the first segment, Dre really has a lot of talent and ability. And if he can just pick up kind of the nuances and intricacies of college basketball, it's just so much more of a detail-oriented game than high school and then AAU. If he can have that click for him in year one and really let his physical tools shine, then he's going to have a really, really good season and going to be someone that a Illini fan should be very excited to watch. On that note, Brad Underwood spoke about Draven Gibbs-Lawhorn along with a bunch of other players on his team as they gear up to head to Spain. They're leaving on Friday. We'll be there for about 10 days, play three games across three different locations, Barcelona, Madrid, and Valencia. Brad Underwood spoke to the media today after practice to get us up to speed on his team and what he's looking forward to in Spain. Here is Brad Underwood.
Today was practice 9. We've had a really, really good summer to this point. I like this team a lot. It's a very mature, very hardworking team. Today was our 9th. We get 10 practices in preparation for this trip. Today was practice 9. We've kept those right at 2 hours. We've been very basic. We've tried to get up and down a little bit in every day that we've practiced. Getting guys acclimated to FIBA rules and the 24-second shot clock and knocking the ball off the rim and some of those things. But that aspect of it has been really good for us, learning to play a little quicker, make better decisions in a quicker frame of time. But it's been a good summer. I'm excited for this trip. Not only the trip itself, going to Spain and going to some place that nobody's been, but to see some different uniforms and just kind of get a jump start and then start putting pieces together. We'll play everybody over there. We'll have some different lineups probably in every quarter. Some guys will play more in certain games than others. Just as we get the opportunity to look, obviously we'd love to go win them all and play great, but the biggest thing is learning a lot about ourselves while we're over there. So it's been very basic in terms of what we've taught. We've tried to be very good on the defensive side, very disciplined on that side, and then offensively, we don't have. We're kind of a shell of ourselves in terms of what we'll have offensively in terms of sets, but most of our stuff's been our quick hit stuff that's in. So, it's been good. I like this team. I like our leadership. I like our maturity, and I've been really excited about that.
Health-wise, how are Marcus and Terrence's wrist?
Terrence is fine. Marcus has had a somewhat frustrating summer from an injury standpoint. He's tweaked a hamstring. He did it again yesterday. Being on the cautious side, not having him do anything today or won't do tomorrow. And again, we'll with hamstrings, we'll err on the side of caution with those. But it's been something that's aggravating. Terrence has been fine and is in a really good spot. And Keaton Kuchar has also been out. He's been fighting a concussion. So, but for the most part, we've gotten through the summer in a pretty healthy fashion, and hope we do that in Spain.
Will Marcus play on the trip?
We'll see. We'll see. Yeah, those are all, you know, like I said, we're going to err on the side of caution, and we'll see. And hopeful that he gets that opportunity.
Great. What's your challenge as a coach of all these new pieces, putting this roster together schematically and figuring out what's best for this team?
Yeah, you know, I think it's, again, I go back to my junior college days. It's very much like that. You know, this group is old. It's got a very mature way of thinking. It's a very experienced group. You know, you're talking about, you know, Guy and Marcus and Justin and Quincy coming into a new program with, you know, 90 to 100 games under their belt, you know, 1,600 point scorers. So you've got an experience standpoint that is really nice. You've also got a maturity side of things from a physical, and that's just the physical, the emotional, the actual experience of playing in games. They understand that. So they're very matter of fact in their approach and what they do in terms of how they work. And, you know, it's just getting up to speed with our terminology and how we do things. And that's been very seamless, as easy maybe as any group we've ever had. Now, how all the pieces fit together, we have to see somebody else. You know, it gets hard in a scrimmage seeing each other to, you know, move pieces around every day. But actually, once we see a different uniform and we can start working on combinations, I'm pretty excited to see how all that plays out.
What do you expect to learn about these guys when you're over
there? Yeah, it's as much a team building and build your chemistry and let guys hang out and get to know each other and. You know, we've had very competitive practices. Our whole summer's been based around competition. We know this is a very competitive group. They handle competition in a mature way. They handle the competitive side in a mature way. Now we get to see that, how they handle adversity against somebody else and how that evolves and grows. And so, you know, I think obviously we want to see combinations. We want to see, you know, what guys fit in certain scenarios and what guys' strengths are. So all the basics, everything that you would think about, we want to find out as well. But a lot of the other team and chemistry and who plays well together, we want to find that out, and we get the opportunity with three games to do that. I hope so. I think that obviously you get 10 practices, and you get you know, a year ago, you know, we didn't have a whole lot in. You know, we had guys just getting acclimated to the weight room and trying to get bigger and stronger and better, and that's been still a part of it. But you know, you got guys that have grown man bodies, and so now we're, you know, with this trip, we obviously have to have some offense in, and we've really tried to dial up a lot of the fundamental things that will be the base for the season. And and then we get to go see three opponents. So yeah, it's not just a great educational piece that we'll get to tour and do those things, but it's the basketball side of it's pretty good because you get to compete.
I know Ty's playing a good amount of point guard. What are you seeing from him, and what's that position like as a whole in terms of who you think can play that spot?
Yeah, I think it's really good. I'm, you know, Ty's been really good. You know, Draven, as a freshman, we've played him a lot there as well. We've seen Nico there a good amount. We've seen Sincere there a good amount. So you know, it's like any other year. You got to figure out who plays well together and with what. And you know, Ty is a different point guard, being 6'6", 6'7", long. You know, he's strong. He's as good an athlete as we've got. You know, I think he maxed out touching at 12'2" or something the other day, and it's vertical and powerful. You know, and you start putting shooters around him, that court opens up and gets pretty wide. And so, you know, that excites us because we've got some versatility in each of those guys.
What's probably the biggest thing Ty needs to develop as he goes through?
Well, I think it's just an understanding of being a quarterback, what that entails. He's very vocal. You know, understanding when and where the game goes. It's, you know, it gets really hard, and you guys saw today a little bit. It gets really hard when you face our ball screen coverage because so much of it's 2-on-2, and it's not a lot of tagging. Well, he's going to see tags over there, and he's going to have to make reads and get guys involved. And it's not about scoring as much as it is when you face our defense. So, you know, all those little subtleties that reading the game, getting guys involved, understanding pace, understanding the control of the game. You know, defensively, he's really, really good at that end of the court because, you know, a lot of times he can just physically overpower some people. So, but he's been really, really good.
What's the difference of Luke now compared to at the end of the season, which basically just coming back?
Conditioning, shape, confidence, just the going through the ability. There's so much mental about being healthy and being able to go through your everyday grind that you go through as a player, the workouts, and you feel better about your workouts and you feel better about your conditioning. And he's worked extremely hard at his conditioning, and he's just light years ahead of where he was at the end of the season because he's been able to sustain and be out here every day. You know, so the mental part of that comes with that, knowing that you're at your best and you're in your best shape and you're getting your, you know, 500 threes up every day, and so you're confident, and that's been one of the great things about seeing Luke healthy. Yeah, he's had a great spring. You know, I think going through the process helped him understand some shortcomings. I think it's great to hear it from maybe the next level people as well. You know, working on offhand stuff, working on his mid-range, working on his floater, you know, not trying to we'll say disappear from games, but being more assertive in a continual type of way. And I think that's one of the things we're trying to work with as a coach, is make sure he's assertive. He's a not just first team all league guy, he might be a first team all American. I mean, he's what they look like. And you know, elevating his status up the scouting report, not that it wasn't at the top, but he's going to be one of those guys, and we need him to be consistent and assertive all the time, not just, you know, not just in segments of the game. We need him to be a dominant rebounder. We need him to be a dominant defender. I think he's one of the best two-way guys in the country in terms of offense and defense and what he can do. We need him to be that 10 rebound in the half game guy that we had against UCLA. We need him to be that guy for us as well, because it leads to the one thing he does great, and that's playing the open court. And so, you know, all those conversations we've had, and he's very confident and very committed to making sure that happens. He's been tremendous. You know, he's been literally dominant on the glass from day one, and I think that we've seen that. You know, his versatility. Here's a guy that, you know, day in and day out, can win any of our shooting contests or shooting drills. Very, very good three-point shooter, can space it. He's worked really hard on his ball handling, putting him in a position to play into some matchup issues. But, you know, just his maturity and his poise is very evident. You can tell that's a guy who's been through it and been through it at a high level. He's been coached very well. So the transition's been very easy for him. But he gives us great versatility because he's big and strong. Could play some small ball five with him and could slide to the three. And so he's been tremendous.
The player had mentioned putting an emphasis of evolving his offensive game. What do you see from him on that front to kind of take that next step on that side?
Yeah, it's not just playing on the ball. It's doing stuff off the ball. You know, we've seen him. He's worked awfully hard since the end of last season. I think he went through the freshman lack of confidence, unsure, you know, shooting it, unsure at the free throw line. You know, I think all those are gone. You know, and I think that he can be a tremendous asset in the open court, pitching it ahead, attacking. You know, trying to not always have the ball, you know, where he can catch it in one or two dribbles, and we've seen him finish. He's a great finisher. He's athletic, and he's awfully twitchy. So, you know, it's just adding a little bit of arsenal to his game and not having him be a point full-time and have to think about, you know, everything that goes along with that, sometimes just playing the game.
With Quincy and Marcus here, Luke's had the freedom to play the three a little more.
I hope confidence. I hope understand that, you know, he's a guy we have to get shots for. You know, and it's sometimes it's a matchup that we like. You know, he's an elite shooter. He's very, very good at shooting the basketball, running away from the basket. There's not many of those out there, you know, where you can rip him off baseline screens and actions. You know, he's got size, so that forces maybe some smaller guys to guard him, and he shoots over the top of those guys very easily. And yet sometimes with a four-man, it can cause a matchup. And so gives us a lot of versatility and different things to do with him.
Dre's pretty loud for a freshman, it seems like today. What's he brought on the court?
Yeah, Dre's good. He's a good player. I don't want to get the cart before the horse, so to speak, with him. But he does not lack confidence. He is as hard a working guy, really, as we've had. He lives in here. He asks questions. He wants to know. He's got a maturity about him, both he and Imani, in terms of how much film they're watching and the questions they ask are the right ones. You know, it's now just living the experience. But very, very good shooter. He's got a great floater. He's very talkative. He's not shy and bashful, and he's not lacking for confidence. And that's something that has been evident from day one. But you know, there's no doubt. Not only Draven, but Imani. They both fit. They're very talented and have been very well coached.
How important are these practices and this main trip for those guys?
Oh, it's huge. They're getting a ton of opportunities. You know, and it's a opportunity for them to see grown men, you know, in all three of these games that play and the pace they play, but just go out and compete and get a feel for what it's like to be a college basketball player. That's huge. That's a experience piece of that is tremendous, bigger for them than anybody else. So, yeah, I'm excited for those guys to get their feet wet and kind of get some of the nervousness and the jitters that come with just playing my first college basketball game.
What was there coaching work over there? Would it be a chance to all of those games for your assistants?
Oh, I'm not coaching any of them. I'm not coaching any of them. Chester's got game one. Tim's got game two. Jeff's got the third one. I'll set with a notepad, keep notes. It's a great opportunity for those guys to slide over a seat, make decisions. It's a great opportunity for Zach and Tyler to kind of step into some of their new roles and be involved that way. You know, Tyler on the offensive side, Zach on the defensive side, help those guys that way. Yeah, it's not just a great learning experience for our players. It is for our staff as well, as they get to sit in that seat.
Is there what did you take from that for yourself?
Oh, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I laughed. I mean, in all seriousness, it's fun to see guys how they act and how they react, and you pick up on what their thought process might be compared to what your thought process might be. You know, I'm not into, you know, in a game, you know, my thoughts are going to win out. Now I get to evaluate and see how they think in a situation, or what they're seeing compared to what I'm seeing. And I'll leave all the substitutions up to them. You know, we'll talk a little bit about lineups prior to the game. You know, all those decisions will become theirs, and it's good. It's good for those guys.
There's been a big emphasis on like body transformation, or what you want to do with Fletch this summer with the guys.
It's been.
Ty City got down to 205. That was a big deal for him.
It's just the natural process that you go through in our program. Okay. It's the experience of 8 weeks of Fletch, and you know, I mean, last time to take his shirt off. I mean, he's just ripped. He's just chiseled, and it's all those guys, and it's you know, it's Amani's going through it, you know, and he's a young man who's dropped weight, but he's got to add and get flexible and do those things, and then he'll start putting back weight, good weight back on. But it's the nutrition piece, it's the conditioning piece. You know, and that happens from year to year. That's why old wins sometimes, is you guys get older, they get in the weight room, they get established, they get in much better shape because their bodies are different. And you know, we've got the best in the country in Fletch, and you know, these guys have, you know, he said it's the best summer we've had. So
that is Brad Underwood. Good stuff.
A lot of stuff mixed in 24 minutes.
A lot there. I'm not going to ask Ty Rogers to take his shirt off. I'll take his word for it. He's ripped up. I did have the thought. I wonder if Fletch wonders. I don't think I'd want to see Piper with his shirt off.
No.
He needs to spend 8 weeks with me. I don't think I would.
Yeah, but at least with you, he'd say, well, we just need to add muscle.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, you're thin. You know, yeah. Not that you don't have some muscle, but you know what I get. Yeah. With me, he'd be like, well, on. We got about 6 months ahead of us just to get down to where I need you. I mean, what do you mean no alcohol, no pop, and no sugar? What the hell, Fletch?
I'm not about that.
People said you were cool.
Yeah. I know Rick pointed out on the U of I landing text line. Apologies. It's hard to hear some of the questions. It's not a in-the-press-room press conference where you pass around the mic. That's why it's hard to hear those. It's a scrum, but you got all the answers there from Brad Underwood, which we wanted you to be able to hear.
That's awesome. I enjoy that.
Good stuff. All right, we got to catch a break. Next hour, we'll hear some talk from John Mozeliak, Jed Hoyer, both Cardinals and Cubs.